This is Amber.
And this is Shannon.
And you're listening to
Twin Geeks,
the Chicken Fanatics podcast.
It's fucking great. Okay, and welcome to the fifth episode of the Twin Beaks podcast. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Amber.
And welcome all you wonderful podcast listening friends. Let's see, so what are we going to do today? Well, today we're going to do things a little bit differently than we have over the last few weeks, and we decided to not have our eight fabulous chick guests along on this episode. They've, you know, had a busy day of jousting with each other and climbing up on perches and down off of them again and all of the things that chicks do. So we decided to let them sleep. We're recording a little late tonight because we were out looking for a car, and you know how that can go. It's amazing, you know, people. How is it that you can spend 12 solid hours being almost there?
Yep,
pretty we're amazing. Nearly there. Yeah, we'll be by in a later. But we did get to look at the truck, so that was good.
Yeah, anyhow, nice people too. Very nice people.
Speaking about our little chick friends, we will still do a little update and talk about what's been going on with them because some things have been changing and they're acting really cute and chick-like, springy. They've gotten really curious, huh?
Yeah, they make eye contact a lot now, and a few of them will come up to you as soon as you open the door. And today we had the two partridge Cochins are so friendly. They'll approach us. They try to come and roost on our hands and stretch their neck. They just completely relax all along your hand. They're amazing.
Boy, yeah, we've only got two of them, but I've got to say, if that's representative of the breed, if you want friendly birds, get partridge Cochins.
Oh, my God.
My gosh, yeah, you just open the door and they run right up.
They just practically worship you, you know? They can't get enough of your attention. It's amazing.
They're little gate crashers, too, like they want out. But not to run away, but just to sort of hang out with you.
Like come sit on your leg or come hop up on your hand. And then they like to nest in your palm. They're that small.
Yeah, that's you just pick them up and stick them on your hand and they just hang out there. It's compared to the other birds that you have to hold down or they will...
Like the golden campions act like they're getting murdered. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what'd I ever do to you?
You know? they're really unhappy.
No, they don't like being held at all. So let's see. What's new, I noticed, well, and you pointed it out to me, so it's not like I discovered this, but they really seem to have gotten more curious and inquisitive, which has led them to becoming bored.
Mm-hmm.
So you addressed that, right?
Oh, sure. I got them some enrichment items.
That's it. There was a special technical chicken speak word for toys.
It's for we call them that at the wildlife hospital, so I can't help it.
Enrichment items. So this is the medical clinical term for
toys. Yes, for toys.
Little chicken brain toys.
Yes.
So what is a good example of a little chicken brain toy?
Well, just something that they could, I like, you know, bells, pine cones.
Pine cones.
Sticks, just something they can't swallow. Strings, they might try to swallow that because it's like a worm.
Okay, see, so I was making a joke because the joke was like all you have to do is give them a pine cone and they're entertained because little brains.
Yeah.
But there are actually parameters for acceptable and non-acceptable enrichment items. So you got up a good point. You don't want to give them anything they're going to choke on,
then
right?
Nothing they're going to try to eat. And nothing that, it's better if
they're
things
you can. Well, they
will
try to eat it, but nothing they can succeed at eating,
yes,
right?
They'll try to eat everything. But yeah, just something they can't choke on and something that, it's ideally something you can throw away or something that you can easily clean. because they'll make they'll get it dirty. So
nothing that gets and stays nasty.
But they are smarter than people think, and they do enjoy messing around with things. I take a dried mint leaf from our garden, and I'll crumble it into smaller pieces so they won't choke on it. But you crumple it in there, and they'll play with it and chase each other around with it and stuff, and they eat it, so it's good because it's good for their digestion.
Right. So, you know, one thing that just kind of popped into our mind. That's so, yeah. So one thing that just popped into my mind is that...
No, it's mine!
is we might have some listeners who are like, well, I don't care about playing with my chickens. I just want to grow a bunch of meat or whatever, right? But so let me talk to those guys. Look, if birds get bored, they get stressed out. And a stressed animal, whether it's because you're scaring it or because it's bored or confined or whatever, sick, is going to have a harder time metabolizing and building a healthy body. That's just the truth about all things. They don't thrive under stress. So from a pure mechanical point of view, getting your chicks toys is a good idea. They'll pick at each other less because what you don't want is a bunch of birds that are bored, trapped in a cage all together. You know, it's like a jail if there's nothing to do in the jail.
Except peck at each other.
And yeah, they'll do it too because like when we were holding the little, what'd you call
Cochins?
Them? Cochins, yeah. Mm-hmm. The other birds run up and they're pecking at the feathers on their feet because now they're up high and accessible, you know, and they do peck at each other a little bit.
Yeah, they have little standoffs.
It's not like they're likely to injure each other, but I have actually seen it happen where they injure each other. Mm-hmm. So just anything to reduce that is going to help you have healthier birds that put on weight faster and, you know. Ultimately, I think it's better for their immune systems, too, because if they're stressed out, stress lowers the immune system. Mm-hmm. So think of a pine cone as a cheap way to raise the immune system of your birds, if nothing else.
At the hospital, we try to not even talk to the birds and reduce stress as much as possible because they've proven that the survival rate is just massively higher when they're just left alone and not stressed and have adequate, you know, things to entertain them and stuff, for the smarter birds at least.
But it's different with chickens because with the wildlife, of course, the goal is to let them back out into the wild and you don't want them trained to people, but we want the chickens trained to people. So they're just going to have to, those other little spastic birds that you pick up and are always trying to get away, what are they called again?
The golden campions, yeah. The little spazzes.
I have a hard time remembering the names, but yeah, the golden campions are just going to have to learn to to embrace humanity.
But it's like you said with the immune system, the stress really is very, there's definitely a relationship there.
So I like to hold the birds that don't like to be held at short intervals, and I wait long enough for them to get calmed down, quit struggling, and sort of resign themselves to being there, and hopefully get to the point where they relax and can kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
And then I put them back and let them have a long break without people because it does stress them out. Yeah. So if you have a bird that doesn't like to be held by people, don't give it to your little kid who's going to just squeeze on it for 4 or 5 hours because it's better to break them in slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that. But let's see, so we got them toys, and you put in some perches, right?
Yeah, they started perching. I had to teach them how to do it. They didn't know quite how at first.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, so I put these nice wooden, natural-looking perches, just kind of threw the slats on there and secured them, and then started grabbing the little chicks and setting them on top of there, and they'd be like, whoa, what's going on? And then when one of them figured it out, the rest of them were like looking over going, wow, what's that one doing? And then they'd try it.
Now that one is up higher than me.
Yeah. But it's interesting because there's like three of the birds and they all are the same age. But there's about three of them who really like to perch. That's how they sleep now. They put their head under the wing, just like an adult bird. But the rest of the group is still on the ground sleeping like babies on the under the heat lamps. So
right. Well, maybe yeah. they like the heat more. Mm-hmm. Or
yeah. So they're not all going for it, but they all know how to climb around up there.
So perfect posture mm-hmm. and princess, who are what breeds again? The leghorn,
the light brown leghorn, and the blue Andalusian.
Right. Way back in the first week that we got them, I was talking about how I was worried that perfect posture was going to beat up princess because I keep wanting to call it a he, but it's going to be a female. Please,
although
please,
it's twice
please.
As big as the rest of
yeah,
them.
The leghorn was going to beat up princess because she wasn't doing too well, princess, and the leghorn was so much bigger. Mm-hmm. And then it was a week later that I said that princess seemed to have moved up the pecking order and wasn't getting messed with very much, and I thought that it was because she'd taken to hanging out with perfect posture, the big leghorn. And now they are bench buddies on the root, on the perch. Uh-huh. They sleep next to
side
each other.
Is pressed against each other.
Every night. So already at this age, they've established their roosting pattern. Uh-huh. They're starting to.
It's so cute.
It is.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see how, as they grow up, they start adopting these behaviors that just become how it is to be a chicken yeah. throughout the rest of, because they'll line up on those perches in a specific order, at least my birds always uh-huh. did, or pretty much a specific order uh-huh. every night.
Wow.
Next to each other.
That's cool.
And, you know, it's like I'm Susie and I sleep next to Bob, and that's just how it is. Uh-huh. And Loretta's off on the other side over there.
That is cool.
Yeah. It is cool, but it can be annoying. Like, I had this one hen that insisted on sleeping on top of the food silo, even though it was incredibly awkward.
Oh, yeah.
And would just crap into it all.
Oh, no.
And I could just not get her to stop sleeping there. I'd go in at night uh-huh. when she was already asleep and move her, and then when I came back in the morning, she'd be back.
Oh, man.
She just liked her spot. But
they can be stubborn like that, that's for sure.
But back to the chicks. What else has been going on with them?
So as far as the behavior goes, that's been interesting because it was kind of like a switch got flipped and all of a sudden they were really duking it out over the pecking order. They seem to have gotten, they puff out their chests and do the kind of, I know they're hens, but if you can imagine like the kind of fighting cock moves and even try to jump sure. up in the air and kick each other.
Yeah.
And they're kind of really going for it as far as it seems like they had it established when they were babies a little bit, and then yeah. at a certain point for some reason they had to like re-establish the pecking order because they're having little standoffs where they have a little fight and then they kind of stare each other down, and then it seems like the first one to leave loses the staring contest.
Yep. That's how it yeah, it's pretty simple
yeah.
stuff.
So that's been interesting to watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's part serious, part practice, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Like you'll see young deer pretending to chase each other around, and all kinds of different animals do that at about this age, you know? It's like they're learning how to brawl for real.
Yeah, so
because they're not really trying to hurt each other. If you've seen chickens really fight, like where they grab each other and pin each other down, and they're not doing anything like that.
Oh, yeah, they can be really tough.
They're just kind of bowing up to each other and bouncing off each other.
Yeah.
Half the time it ends up with everybody just scattering in random directions and then fluffing up and looking confused.
Yeah, I really enjoy the staring contest that they do. It's very intense, especially when it's these little cute chicks.
Fluff balls that take like, themselves.
You're not intimidating anyone.
Puffball Mortal Kombat. Yes, that's about it. We both hope that you guys are really enjoying the show. We try hard to put out a good product for you, and we frankly spend all week looking forward to doing the show next. It's one of the highlights that we get to do when we're not doing the work week. Another one of our highlights, I just couldn't help it. I had to bring birds into the studio here. This is our feathered Cochin, uh-huh. right? Yes, for the feathered feet.
Cochin.
And you know which one this one is?
I don't know, maybe this is riot gear?
This is riot gear, yeah. We named it riot gear for obvious reasons.
It's very plump and black.
Very plump and black, okay. Well, that's good. let's see. So, yep, Riot Gear's in the studio with us and is just going to chill out perching on us because that's how good the Feathered Cochins are at how many weeks, by the way?
We started them on the second episode, okay. Yeah, so I think they're 4 weeks old.
Right, so at 4 weeks, they're already pretty much trained to the hand where they'll just sit and chill on your hand. This breed, not the other ones. So, we found this book. We went on a rare excursion to a shopping mall, which was...
Oh, it was an experience.
A whole nother podcast, let's just say.
Yeah, let's just say that they were playing the Little Mermaid soundtrack, and
That's what it was, wasn't it?
Skipping, or like some sort of Disney soundtrack, but it was like glitching out and skipping.
It was surreal.
In the bookstore.
Yeah.
It was all like totally bizarre and surreal. Because it was completely...
Everybody that worked there had to be medicated somehow.
Yeah. It was too much to bear even for half an hour, let alone an 8-hour shift.
So we got in.
Poor people.
Went to the pet section because they didn't have a homesteading section or anything like that. And we found this book, which seemed like a really good choice to pick up.
Yeah.
We're going to explore it together here with you guys on the show. It's called The Chicken Keeper's Problem Solver. And then it's got this little emblem on it that says, 100 Common Problems Explored and Explained. And the author's name is Chris Graham. And it's, let's see, published by Quarry.
Yeah.
Q-U-A-R-R-Y, like rock quarry. Let's see, $20. So that's not bad, and it's a decent-sized book.
Looks well-made.
Every other page has a nice color picture on it, and it's basically just a rundown of 100 different problems that you might encounter with your chickens, and, you know, what causes the symptoms and the solution. There's a little extra box here and there on the page. So I liked the idea of this book because if you were somebody that was new to having chickens, or even if you were experienced, actually, and just hadn't come across...
There was a few things in there that I'm pretty experienced with chickens, and there's a lot of really good stuff.
Here's a good example of one that... Yeah, well, just in case you hadn't experienced something before, you might have, like, a reference manual, or if you're really into raising chickens, this is something that you could just, like, thumb through.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, let's talk about having problems with chickens. What I've found really scary and disturbing is when suddenly there's a problem with my bird that seems pressing, let's say. And I have no idea what it is because I've never seen it before. That is a nasty feeling.
Yeah.
And then you've got some bird that's clearly in distress and you're furious, thank God for the internet, furiously pounding away on my bird is doing what and trying to read through forums or highly technical scientific papers, but there just doesn't seem to be anything that says, if your bird is this, do that,
yeah.
Right? Or, you know... you know, it's like, well, here's the cure. And it's like, well, I just don't happen to have that particular thing lying around, you know, because it's some kind of medication or some obscure thing for your kitchen. Well, you probably would have that, whatever it is. But I wouldn't, you know. So it's nice so you could just get this book and read through it and go, oh, if this ever happens, I should have this stuff lying around. Hey, maybe I should have it lying around before that happens, you know?
Yeah.
So what I thought would be kind of a cool thing to do is read a couple of... So here's a good example. My hens are gasping for breath. Like, could you imagine if you just walked into your hen house one day and your chickens are all going, you know, and you have no idea what to do?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of sense of urgency is that? Mm-hmm. So... You know, just reading through this, and it'll give you, like, a cause, and things you can do about it, which is probably no mean exhaustive, you know? Like, I imagine that for each of these things, there are probably other causes that aren't mentioned. So, yeah,
and other solutions. But this book is really great for like a brief overview of stuff.
A good quick draw book. So I'm going to do what's called bad radio and read directly from a book on the air. Hopefully I can make it interesting so you guys can bear with me. And then Amber and I will talk about whether or not we've experienced either of those things or stuff like that. And hopefully share some personal insight with you guys. And we'll just do them like...
Right. And if anyone listening has had any experiences, it'd be great to hear about that too.
Right. Yeah, that's something I meant to cover actually before I got into this segment, which is, you know, we're still getting things set up on our website and things like that. But hopefully by the time some of you hear this, we'll have a forum. We should have a contact info available really soon. And please send us feedback on the show, ideas, stuff you want covered, anything like that. It would be a lot of fun, I think, to share with the audience, you know, what everybody's different experiences are. Because I really like learning from other people instead of in the field.
Yeah, that can be very nice.
Field learning is not the best way to do things. So on that note, let's see. I'm going to randomly go to...
A little bibliomancy.
There are holes appearing in the chicken run. I have had this happen before.
I have had this happen too.
Here's a perfect example of what I was saying, how there could be a lot of causes and they might not all... I mean, they're, gosh, to think of all the reasons there might be holes in your chicken run. But so let's see what they cover. Holes inside the chicken run are most likely to be caused by the birds themselves, but they could also be made by rats. If made by the latter, they will be much smaller. Holes found around the outside of the run will usually have been made by a fox or other predator trying to dig under the fence to get at the birds inside. Dun, 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 dun. And it shows these two hens in a photograph that have dug themselves this enormous crater in the middle of a yard.
It's like a nice dust bath.
And are dust bathing themselves in it. Let's see. Solution. Hens are surprisingly good at digging. That's true. And typically they do so in an attempt to create dust baths for themselves. Consequently, you'll often find holes in the driest parts of their enclosure under the hen coop or at the bases of shrubs or brushes. As long as the number of holes doesn't get out of hand and start impinging on the grass cover inside the run, this doesn't pose much of a problem. If it worries you, try adding a man-made dust bath for them to use. The presence of rats is definitely a cause for concern. Colonization beneath an old-style hen coop that sits directly on the ground can be highlighted by the appearance of small round holes in the ground close to the base of the coop. Not only can rats spread disease, but they'll also cause structural damage to the hen coop, often creating water leaks and drafts, and can take eggs and even young chicks given the opportunity. It's vital to be responsible about your anti-rodent measures. Scrapings and other signs of ground disturbance and digging on the outside of your chicken enclosure fence are a sign that predators such as foxes, weasels, or minks have attempted to access the run. If they have, it is likely that your electrified fencing or underground hardwire cloth isn't providing enough of a deterrent. The voltage may have dropped due to problems with the battery or short-circuiting somewhere in the system. So yeah, any thoughts on that?
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, we've had problems with rat holes in our chicken coop.
That's true.
And I've read we do have the chicken wire buried in there, and then I have wood on top of that. But I read something at one point that rats just have magic powers. All rodents have magic powers when it comes to biting and chewing through things. So if they really want to, they can chew. They can chew and scrape and scratch through wood, through chicken wire, kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But One thing I wanted to look into was they have chicken feeders that I've never used one, but it's basically like a lever system where the chicken comes and steps on a platform to eat the food, and it opens up their containers so that as soon as they're not eating, it closes.
Right.
So that rodents...
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'd like to see if chickens can actually figure that out. I suspect they would.
Yeah, I was curious too.
Well, they learned
too.
That tic-tac-toe thing.
Yeah.
Well, we should get to that in another
episode. Yeah,
we'll
talk about that another time.
So,
it's cool though.
More broadly speaking, mm-hmm. rodents, the solution is deprivation of attractant. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that is drawing them in, prevent them from having it. So the endless grain feeder mm-hmm. is, you know...
Heaven for rodents.
Right, the never-ending lunch buffet.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do a lot to deter mm-hmm. the rodents by scheduled feedings.
Yeah.
And which is more work, but...
Yeah.
Rodents are not good.
I've been feeding my chickens, kind of trying to measure the amount of food I give them and give it to them in the morning so that there's no food sitting out overnight, so that they've finished most of it by evening, or all of it by evening.
Yeah. Let's see what else about them. It's true, that thing about the house, you want a big space under the house
mm-hmm.
or something so that the rodents can't... Anything flat mm-hmm. that you leave lying on the ground in a chicken yard will probably get rodents under
like
it.
Like a piece of plywood or,
yep.
or something like that?
Anything they can tunnel under and
mm-hmm.
use as a roof, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So putting things up on blocks, I had the cab over that the chickens
mm-hmm.
at my place lived in
mm-hmm.
up on... two stacks of broken concrete, mm-hmm. basically recycled
yeah.
sidewalk, just enough for them to crawl under it, and that was nice because they got the shade.
Yeah,
it was very hot there.
That is cool.
So the cab over provided more insulation than
uh-huh.
an average, you know, slapped together stick and frame chicken coop,
uh-huh.
and then they could sleep under that on top of it. But it also kept rodents from living under there.
Yeah,
it didn't
yeah.
keep them from living in the walls.
Yeah,
that was a problem.
They're good at climbing and getting
and
into
don't
stuff.
Don't think that because you have chickens, you won't have mice. That
mm-hmm.
it's. I've walked into my chicken coop at night. They're all sleeping up on the perch,
mm-hmm.
and there's just mice running all over the place.
Yeah.
So
I've seen the chickens, the rats out in the daytime before, and the chickens
mm-hmm.
actually are just kind of like, whatever. There's that
yep.
thing. They don't really try to attack it.
Well, especially if they have an endless food supply. Hungry
yeah.
chickens are a bit more
yeah.
assertive in their catching
yeah.
of things. But going back to rats chew through all kinds of things, the thing that they don't chew through is steel wool and expanding foam.
Oh, expanding foam.
Right.
Really? They don't chew through that?
Not.
That's
well,
amazing.
They will chew through. No, I said steel wool and expanding foam.
Oh, you encase it in.
Mixed together. So, like, if you've got nice. A rat hole that you never want them to come out of again,
yeah,
you shove a bunch of steel wool down into it, and then you stick the, you know, the expanding
yeah.
foam has that big long
great
tube.
Great stuff, right? Isn't
yeah,
that
that's
called?
The, that's that, I think, I don't know if there is another brand, but
yeah.
anyway, you stick that hose down in there,
uh-huh.
and you spray that, and it blows into the steel wool.
That's amazing.
So it's mixed together.
So it
kind
really
of,
holds it in
see,
there.
See, steel wool alone, the rats will pull it out.
Yeah, I've had them do that.
Expanding foam, they will chew through.
Uh-huh.
But mixed together, they won't chew through it because, as I like
that's
to put it,
brilliant.
It makes it into a lot of nice metal dental floss.
Ooh, ouch.
Well,
well,
don't chew there.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is if you have a really rotten building, they'll just chew a hole right next to it. I've
yeah.
had them do that just
oh,
right
God.
Through the wall. But
such a nuisance.
So you've got to have, that's where patching comes in.
Yeah.
Then you just put a big piece of wood over that and
yeah.
they find another way.
Yeah.
So exclusion is the way to go with rodents, followed by trapping.
Yeah.
Don't go, you'll spend the rest of your life trapping rodents if all you do is trap rodents. Exclusion. Exclusion.
Right.
Exclusion.
Right.
So some other, speaking of exclusion,
mm-hmm.
Some other things for keeping out the predators is to put, you lay down the wire cloth, you know.
Under, on the inside of the chicken coop, so they
On the outside.
Outside, and I did inside, and it worked. But
so you put it on the outside so that they can't tunnel under.
Yeah.
Because an animal is going to walk up to the wall of wire and then start digging.
Yep.
They're not going to start digging 3 feet back.
Yeah.
Unless they have forever to sit there and excavate the whole thing, which you ought to be paying more attention.
Yeah.
If that happens, shame on you.
Yes.
But the other thing you can do is put rocks or broken concrete on top of that laid down piece of wire. So even if they do dig under it, the concrete falls down on top of, you know, sinks, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
That does a lot to help. You can also grow stuff like cactus.
Oh, now that's smart.
Cactus is good for keeping deer out of gardens, too. You know, people have this problem with deer jumping over higher and higher fences. Mm-hmm. Deer don't like to jump through depth. Mm-hmm. They're really good at high, but not deep. So you can have a cactus garden that's 4 feet deep and 4 feet tall instead of an 8 foot tall fence, and they won't jump through all of that cactus.
That's awesome.
Because it's too much of a hurl to get into there. But that's another tangent
still
there.
Still worth mentioning, though.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yes. So, yeah, the other thing is that, yeah, you're going to get the varmints, and so to speak, and that's just redneck for all those things that want to eat your chickens and hawks. Mm-hmm. And,
One interesting thing.
I don't know what to say about that, but you got to deal with that. I suppose what you can do is live trap them and take them somewhere else. That's what I should say about it. But yeah, you got to get rid of them. Dogs are great. Dogs are great. I used to, I'm just going to say it. I used to go out into the yard, and I had a big place out in the middle of nowhere. Probably not the thing to do with your small chicken backyard operation, but I used to just go and pee all over everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
territory.
Yeah, they know what that means.
Yeah.
And it won't save your birds, but every bit of deterrent helps.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a dog, that's fantastic. You can even, if you have a predator problem, borrow somebody's dog for like a few days.
Yeah.
And just the smell of the dog running around the yard and the predators will go away, and it'll take them a while to figure out that the dog isn't there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So regular treatments of dog work too, even.
That's a good idea. That's awesome.
How's our little co-host doing?
Resting very snugly in the palm of my hand.
Are you even
warm.
Holding that bird down?
No. I have my other hand over the bird, more for warmth.
Contently resting.
Like, contently, even warm.
Well, should I do another one?
But I wanted to mention one interesting thing that I've never heard of anyone doing, but seemed like in combination with minimizing the access to food and making it so that it's been eaten by nighttime. Another thing I've been doing is I see the rat holes through the floor of the chicken coop, and I have these big tubs of water. And as anyone knows, the chickens will foul that up in a day. So you have to empty it somewhere. I usually water my garden, but recently I've been dumping the water down the holes. And what that probably does is at least irritate them and make them want to move somewhere else. But it also makes the ground weak, so when I walk around in there, I can feel the tunnels just collapsing everywhere I step. So it's closing off all their tunnels, and yeah, it seems to help keep them away. So I keep dumping the water down, so it's just totally inhospitable environment for them.
One of the greater rules of nature, I like to talk about the rules of nature, is conservation of energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all life is inherently lazy. We want to do whatever we want to do with as little work as possible. So if you make it just that much more work here and there.
Redigging those holes every day.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you think like that, I guess, if you get into that mentality of, okay, how can I make it just like those YouTube videos with the squirrels that go through these insanely long, ornate obstacle courses to get to bird feeders, because people just keep adding to them and adding to them and adding to them, you know. How can you deter?
Mm-hmm.
Deterring is...
Yeah. Seems to work, you know. It's working.
And if you really want to horrify yourself, go on YouTube and look at lockpicking videos, speaking of deterring.
Or the squirrel catapult. That's pretty disturbing, too.
Yeah. Right. So, should I do another one?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
have I gone too long?
No, more? Let's try it. Let's do another.
The eggs are tiny.
Oh, I had that happen once.
I've had that all kinds of different times, yep. Okay, cause. At the start of its laying cycle, a hen eases itself into the egg-producing process with the production of a few tiny, often oddly shaped eggs. Solution. Popularly known as pullet eggs, these little offerings herald the onset of laying proper, and so are nothing to be alarmed about. Often, if you crack one open, you'll find there's no yolk inside, just albumen, the white part. Hmm. In most cases, the bird will only produce a handful of these miniature eggs before the size increases dramatically as she settles into her normal laying routine. Consequently, this phenomenon is usually restricted to young hens that have just reached point of lay. However, it may also occur in older birds if they're subjected to some sort of shock, such as the alarm caused by a fox attack, for example.
Hmm.
I've had that happen. But as with the young birds, it should quickly pass, assuming that all else is well. If it doesn't and the supply of undersized eggs continues from a mature laying hen, then there will be something else at the root of the problem and veterinary investigation will be required.
Hmm.
So that's true.
Uh-huh.
They have little... not quite a woman eggs as they're growing up.
They're debutante eggs.
There you go. I thought you would have a better word. That's true. And I have seen them get smaller as in really old birds.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like really old lady birds.
old is an old lady bird? Or in your case, how old was it?
6 to 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like peak laying and then it starts trailing off and then it just gets totally erratic and then stops.
Yeah.
And then
you get some
really
little legs.
So after that long trailing off, mm-hmm. like, because they only have so many in them,
mm-hmm.
right?
I think so, yeah.
And in fact, I think that's true for people too.
Mm-hmm.
So. I guess the last few are kind of the, I don't know, runs of the bunch or something.
I don't know how it works.
Yeah, well, yeah, I shouldn't talk like I do either. So,
well, we can speculate. Well.
So I guess one thing I would say is that the small eggs are not a problem, right?
I don't believe so. I think you can eat them just like a regular egg.
Unless, well, I wasn't thinking about that, but
oh.
I mean that it's not something you have to do something about.
Yeah.
In the first case, they're young and growing up. In the second case, they're old. And,
yeah.
Well, I guess you could say time to kill that bird if you want. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
We just keep ours. I mean, they're just, they've served us faithfully. We may as well just let them...
And most, it seems like they don't generally live to get old. Something happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never had a lot of old lady birds that
yeah.
just, and to me it's like, sure the bird isn't productive if it's, quote, productive, if it's laying, you know, 2 or 3 eggs a week,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's productive enough.
Yeah.
I guess on a strict food to egg ratio, I'm probably losing money on them, but it's
but they have so much more to
change.
Offer. Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of a who cares. But then I've always had endless space for more chickens. If I had
yeah.
a tiny backyard farm, that might matter a lot to me.
Yeah. I guess
so
it just depends.
It's something to think about. But
yeah.
And then if it is a more serious medical problem, assuming that you actually are the kind of chicken person that is going to, like, take your chicken to a vet, which I'm more of the hatchet school, I've got to say. But, you know, that's just me. You know, if you tell me, oh, my God, this is my favorite pet chicken, we can't just kill it. We've got to take it to a vet. Then my attitude is, you know, people do that with their cats and dogs. Why not?
Sure, yeah.
But if it is one of those situations, the eggs are still not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a symptom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to keep in mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to fix the egg laying.
Yeah.
So when you see that, it in a normal bird, you know, as in normal age, it's a symptom of a bigger problem.
Stress, it sounds like, from this, there's probably more
right,
reasons
than that. Right,
that
was the other thing. Yeah, so stress can cause that, and that can mm-hmm. be from a few different things, like not getting adequate food and water,
mm-hmm.
which if you've got a big place with a large population can actually sneak up on you,
mm-hmm.
you know. I had one time where I had this giant bathtub outside that I kept full of water,
mm-hmm.
and I had sticks down into it and across it so they could climb all into it and just get water because it was so hot there,
mm-hmm.
and they could get their feet in it and it would cool them
uh-huh.
off and stuff like that. And I noticed that they were starting to act dehydrated,
uh-huh.
and they had knocked the stick out of this bathtub.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't check it because it took, you know, weeks for that thing to go dry.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter if they can't get into it.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Man.
And that was one of the signs of stress. It wasn't like they were getting no water, they just weren't getting enough.
Yeah.
So, I think that might have been a cause of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I have had animal attacks before that were successful, and the birds that survived produced small eggs for a while after that.
Oh, wow.
So.
How long after that happened did they...
Oh, it was just like one or two.
Yeah.
And there might have been a couple days.
But it was like more than one bird.
To be honest, I wasn't paying a lot of attention to that because, again, that's not the problem.
Right.
It's a symptom.
But you definitely notice when there's little dinky
and
eggs.
And I just had all my... well, not all my birds, but, you know, a big kill off of my birds. So that was kind of not the part I was thinking about, you know.
Yeah.
But... anyhow, there's another example of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was, again, this book is The Chicken Keeper's Problem Solver by Chris Graham. And it's full of all sorts of fun stuff that we're going to read.
Great book.
Here's one, number 20, My Hen Coop Blew Over.
Maybe we should just read a few of the titles just to give people
an idea.
That's
what I'm going to do here.
Cool.
I want to get rid of rats in a humane way. one of my hens has a swollen, hard lower neck.
Ooh.
See, isn't that nice? You can just run to this book. A breeding hen is losing the feathers on her back.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see what causes that. My hen has a cut and bleeding comb. Boy, there could be a lot of things going on there. My hens don't lay every day. That happens. Oh, this is one that drove me crazy for a long time. I keep finding broken eggs in the hen coop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll just say...
Bad habits.
If your chickens start breaking eggs... do whatever it does takes to get them to stop, because the longer they do it, the harder it is to get them to stop. So yeah, I'd recommend that book for people of all levels of chicken experience and
definitely
husbandry.
Worth the money.
Yeah, yeah, $20.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
We split it. We paid $10. That's like a coffee and a
right.
Bagels or something, you
right.
know, it's definitely worth it.
So, we were going to do a segment on chicken coops.
Yes.
Oh, boy. But we've already, I think, pushed the show to as long as we should make it for now. Try to keep it somewhat under an hour, even though apparently we can go on about chickens forever.
We can babble on and on.
Yeah. Totally healthy.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
It's awesome.
I think so. So I guess what we're going to do is punt that to the to next week.
Yeah. So all about chicken coops.
I think we might
more than meets the eye.
Do the chicken keeper's problem solver and the cabinet of curiosities.
Mm-hmm.
can't do both in every show.
Yeah,
and
maybe
still
we
could have a
alternate.
Topic.
So
or
yeah,
we'll figure out what we're gonna do, or maybe we'll just keep it mixed up so you guys don't know what's
keep
coming
you guessing.
Next. Keep
yeah.
you guessing. Yes, curiosity is a virtue in the Chicken Podcast.
Indeed.
All right, so thanks so much, guys, for tuning in to episode 5 of the Twin Beaks podcast. please stay tuned, and like I said earlier, contact us. Tell us what you're doing in your own chicken escapades. Give us any suggestions for topics, books,
pictures of your chickens.
Funny things like people singing songs about chickens, or just, you know, all those great YouTube clips of chicken weirdness.
Yeah, we embrace it completely.
That's right. All things
chicken. Weirdness pride.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Good evening and welcome to Peace of Mouse Theater. Peace of Mouse Theater presents The Rooster Song by the Moron Brothers.
You know, Tim Farmer was telling me that he got him some chickens and he go raise chickens, sell eggs, make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, well, he read in the magazine, farm magazine, where if you feed them silkworms, they'd lay better.
Yeah.
So I seen him there, and he, so been about 6 months, and I seen him up there. I said, Tim, how's your chickens done? He said, I've been feeding them silkworms. I said, well, how they doing? He said, well, they're laying good, but all the eggs got panty holes in them.
Do the rooster song.
All right, then. Had a hen, wouldn't lay no eggs. Had a hen, wouldn't lay no eggs. Then the rooster came on the farm. Met the hen down by the pond. She laying eggs now. We got eggs now. Said the rooster, came on the farm. She laying eggs now. We got eggs now. Said the rooster, came on the farm. Had a dog, didn't have no pups. Had a dog, didn't have no pups. Then the rooster down by the pond. She's having bird dogs. We got bird dogs. Said the rooster, came on the pond. She's having bird dogs. We got bird dogs. Said the rooster, came on the pond. Had a cow, didn't give no milk. Had a cow, didn't give no milk. Then the rooster came on the farm, caught the cow down by the pond. She giving eggnog, we got eggnog. Said the rooster came on the farm. She giving eggnog, we got eggnog. Said the rooster came on the farm. Had a night, didn't have no kids.
Uh-oh.
Had a night, didn't have no kids. Then the rooster came on the farm, caught a rank out behind the barn. Ran fried rooster, ran fried rooster. Said the rooster came on the farm. Ran fried rooster, ran fried rooster. Said the rooster came on the farm.
Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for episode 5 of the Twin Beaks podcast. The Twin Beaks podcast was edited and arranged and all of those wonderful things by Amber. We'd like to invite you to visit us at our webpage, which is twinbeakschickenpodcast.com. Yeah, and you can contact us at the email we've got listed there at the website, and visit us on the forum where you can share knowledge of all things chicken. All right, guys, see you again next week.